I'm Robert Graham with the Smart Stocks Online Talk Show. On today's program, what do the next 12 months hold in store for investors in the mining sector? Our special guest is the mercenary geologist Mickey Fulp. He's a certified professional geologist. You can find his website at mercenarygeologist.com. He joins us now from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mickey, welcome to the program.
Good to be back again, Rob.
You know, 2008 was an absolutely brutal year for investors in the mining sector. Do you see any signs of an improvement in that sector of the market going forward over the next 12 months or so?
Well, yes, I do. I see much improvement in specific parts of this market. You know, Rob, I'm always a permabull about something. I'm always long something. And for 2009, I foresee continuation of mergers and acquisitions, and I also see value in gold companies with cash flow or near-term cash flow.
Okay, well, let's talk about the M&A activity a little bit later, but first of all, look at pockets of value in this market. Who are you focusing on?
Well, I'm focusing on small gold producers. You know, one of my friends, Jay Taylor, a well-known newsletter writer, retained me about a year and a half ago to evaluate 30 companies in his portfolio. Jay's got it right. Jay says capital goals where returns are highest and risk is lowest. Now, certainly the returns in the juniors can be tremendously high. That's there's leverage against gold price, and that's why we choose to invest in them. Commonly, we can get 5 and 10 baggers.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is many juniors are also the highest risk too. So, but there are survivors out there, and so what I'm looking at are advanced gold projects, flagship gold or silver projects. I'm looking at 2 years worth of work in cap so they can survive this time, and exceptional management. So there is some values in exploration juniors, and there's certainly value in gold, small gold companies that are generating cash flow.
Okay, so the producers are on your radar screen, junior producers, but also on the exploration side, you see value. And I guess among the junior sector of the market, the exploration and developers certainly have been beaten up the most. But if a company is not producing, I get the feeling that you're also saying they should be pretty darn close to being a producer. Is that right?
That is my take right now. You know, I'm looking for companies that are near pre-feasibility study or even have a feasibility study, which means that they're going to have measured and indicated resource with some economic numbers put on them. So those are really my target companies right now, and they've been beat up unmercifully.
Well, there was certainly a lot of M&A activity in the mining sector in 2008, and you touched on this very briefly off the top, but expand on it for us now, Mickey, if you will. How much M&A activity do you see taking place over the next 12 months or so? Will it be busy once again?
Oh, I think so, Rob. I look at 2009 as a year of consolidation with mergers and acquisitions. I think there are going to be hostile takeovers and especially hostile take-unders. I recently wrote a newsletter on this very subject. And I think we're going to look at a bunch of multi-company business combos.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to look at are buyout candidates that have multiple suitors. I think you need to be aware where there's only one suitor or buyer. If you have many suitors, you can possibly generate a bidding war for a good company.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you want to look at specifically are those companies, small companies that have production in the lowest one quarter of operating costs. So for good mines, generally we use as a rule of thumb 50% operating cost margin. So you want to look at companies right now that are producing gold, cash operating costs somewhere around $400 plus or minus $400 an ounce.
Okay, now what is a take under candidate? I mean it's easy to understand a takeover candidate, but what do you mean when you say take under?
Well, I think a take under candidate would be one where they are producing cash flow, they have a substantial amount of money in the bank, and if you do a valuation, you're looking at a net present value or a value per share which is considerably higher than the hostile takeover candidate is proposing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now how does the average retail investor, though, get a hold of one of these companies and own the stock before the bid is launched? Because once that bid comes out, the stock is popped higher. Chances are you've missed out on the lion's share of the gains that can be made on a takeover. So how does a retail investor position themselves so that they know ahead of time which stock to own, that they have a good idea what companies are the best candidates for a takeover?
Well, I think you need to listen to the analyst, and I'm tooting my own horn here, but there's a few of us out here, a geologist. We make our livings by evaluating stocks one way or the other, and we look for undervalued candidates, and we publish on those. So there's several newsletter writers, myself included right now, we're writing about this because this is where we see value. For the general investor, it's possible to do your own due diligence, too. I recently wrote a musing on the criteria for evaluating junior resource companies. So if you get an idea, go in and start looking at the financials, look at the valuation in the ground, read the newsletter writers, and I think you can get some good ideas for stocks that are potential takeover targets.
Okay, well ended on that note. Mickey, thank you very much for speaking with us, and all the best for 2009.
Well, you too, Rob. Thank you very much.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find his website at mercenarygeologist.com. He joined us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm Robert Graham. You've been listening to the Smart Stocks Online Talk Show, where companies come alive. For more corporate interviews and analyst insight, visit us online at www.smartstox.com.